tonight, Ephesians in chapter number 2. Ephesians chapter number 2. And we'll look at verse number 1 to verse number 12. That's what we're going to read tonight, verses 1 to verse number 12. And you can follow along as I'll read verses 1 through 7 at this time. We'll just read verses 1 through 7, but look at through verses 12 when we get there. Here's what the Bible says in verse number 1. And you hath he quickened who were dead in trespasses and sins, wherein in time past ye walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience, among whom also we all had our conversation in times past, in the lusts of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature the children of wrath, even as others. But God, who is rich in mercy for his great love wherewith he loved us, even when we were dead in sins, hath quickened us together with Christ. By grace ye are saved, and hath raised us up together, and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus, that in the ages to come he might show the exceeding riches of his grace in his kindness toward us through Christ Jesus. Have you ever tried to witness to someone and didn't know exactly what to say? Anybody like that besides me? You know, sometimes you're thinking, man, I know this person needs the Lord, but where do I start? What are some things I need to share? The Bible tells us very clearly that salvation, of course, is not of us. And you can see that clearly in verse 8 and 9. You may have those memorized by heart. The Bible says, for by grace are ye saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. And yet people do boast. They want to boast. They want to figure it out on their own. A philosophy professor named Erwin Edmond once had a chat with a French monk. The monk bemoaned the fact that his order was not as famous as the Jesuits for their scholarship or the Trappists for their silence and good works. But, he added, when it comes to humility, we're the best in that one. Human pride will ever try to figure a way to accomplish what can only be handled by God. And do you know that even though we're saved, we still let pride try to take over that part of our life? But certainly without Christ, that's where people are. The Bible's message is clear that apart from the blood of Jesus, there's no remission. Remission means dismissal or release from sin for mankind. But tonight, Ephesians gives us some witnessing points to share why salvation cannot be of ourselves. So a long title here. Let me give you the title again. Witnessing points to share why salvation cannot be of ourselves. Witnessing points, meaning what can I share that would be helpful, might be short, but might be quick, that would get some folks understanding or thinking about their need for Jesus. We're talking about missions for the month of October, and it would be good to talk about how to witness for him. Amen? Because that's part of God's mission for this world. So that's what we want to look at tonight. Witnessing points to share why salvation cannot be of ourselves. I trust it'll be a help to us. Sometimes these things, if you're like me, your memory is real good, but it's real short. It's real good, but it doesn't keep it all together. Maybe this can help us. Maybe if we jot them down, it can be a blessing to somebody who is in need. Would you bow with me? We'll ask God to help us before we go any further as we look in his word. Again, Lord, we thank you that you've placed us where we are at today. This is not by accident that we live where we live, that we go to church where we do, that we shop where we do, or work in the places we do. Father, these are all part of your plan to use us as a testimony, a witness to those around us. Thank you for that, Lord. But let us see people like you do. Let us see their heart, their soul, their eternity, Lord, the way you do, and catch a vision to share with them about Jesus. May you use the Word of God to encourage us that way, things to recall and things to share, and may you get the glory through that. And we pray, Father, for souls to be saved. This is our missions month, and what a blessing it would be to see someone get saved this month, Father, right here at this church or so, or through the effects of what's going on here. But we all want to do it for your glory, Lord. I pray now you'd be with me as you share the Word of God, that the Spirit of God would fill us and help us to see what you see. In Jesus' name, amen. witnessing points to share why salvation cannot be of ourselves. Number one, we find in specifically in verse number 3. Take a look, Ephesians 2 and verse number 3. The Bible says, among whom also we all had our conversation in times past in the lusts of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature the children of wrath, even as others. Number one reason why we need to trust and turn to God, we cannot be saved by ourselves. Number one, because we're born dead in sin. The Bible says, and you hath he quickened who were dead in trespasses and sins. Because we were born dead in sin. The Bible tells us that our actions, the very things we do, condemn us. We don't need to have some kind of intrinsic, invisible microscope that can look inside of our heart and mind. All we got to do is look at what we do and say. All that has to be done is to look at the actions of an individual and realize, no, they're not perfect. They're not holy all the time. They make mistakes, and the Bible calls those sins. He says, our actions condemn us. Look at verse number 1 again. Hath he quickened who were dead in trespasses and sins. Trespass is the outward sin. That's a trespass. In the Old Testament, it's called the transgression. Transgression. Here it's called trespass. Trespass would be that you could observe. Oh, I see that you said, you did, you moved, you whatever, and that was wrong. I did that. Iniquities in the Old Testament and part of the New, iniquities is what goes on in the heart or the mind, the things that I think about that are sinful. But here the Bible says even our outward actions speak against us. They condemn us, the Bible says, and it would be helpful to share with someone if you ask them, you know, have you ever lied? Have you ever lied? How many people have ever lied before? You ever taken a cookie and told your mom you didn't, you know, or whatever the case? Yeah, everyone seems to have a desire to escape accountability, and God says those actions condemn us. Look at verse number 5. Explains it a little bit too there. Even when we were dead in sins, hath quickened us together with Christ. By grace ye are saved. They say, well, I'm walking around. I'm not dead. Well, before the Lord, spiritually, you are. Spiritually, you are. The Bible tells us not only our actions condemn us, but our heritage condemns us. Our heritage. We had a good time with the missionaries this afternoon for lunch and talked about some of those Polish people he has over there in Scotland. And do you know their last name is spelled exactly the way ours is? I was excited about that. I said, well, man, tell them they got a cousin over here, and we want to connect somehow and see what God can do. But praise the Lord. Though we have that heritage and some kind of connection maybe over the globe, that's not going to get us to heaven. In fact, our heritage condemns us. Look at verse number 11 and verse 12 with me, please. Look at our verses in verse 11 and 12. Wherefore remember that ye being in time past Gentiles in the flesh, who are called uncircumcision by that which is called the circumcision in the flesh made by hands, that at that time ye were without Christ, being aliens. There's the word. Hey, there is aliens in the Bible. Amen. From the commonwealth of Israel and strangers from the covenants of promise, having no hope and without God in the world. Of course, the word aliens there means a foreigner, someone who doesn't belong there. And that's what the Bible's telling us, that our heritage, regardless of how great or how whether it comes from the gypsies. That's what he was telling us, that these folks are gypsy families. And, you know, gypsies don't get the greatest reputation, you know. But praise God, whether they're gypsies or whether they're from the palace of the king, our heritage is not going to get us closer to heaven. Where we come from cannot be the reason or the answer, and it has not been. Praise the Lord for those who have reared us. Praise the Lord for those relatives, grandparents, parents, siblings, and so forth who are encouragement to us. But not one of them can draw us closer to Christ. And the Bible says our heritage even condemns us. Our humanity, the very fact that we are in the human race, the Bible says condemns us. Look at verse number 3. He says, among whom also we all had our conversation in times past in the lusts of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature, here it is, the children of what? Wrath, even as others. Now, the Apostle Paul, writing to the Ephesus church, this was a place where apparently a lot of probably Greek-speaking people, people who were not Jewish, Hebrew in their family members and so forth, they got saved and God used them in a mighty way. The Ephesus church was a great church and used by God. Yet, the Bible says, regardless of whether they were Hebrew or Gentile, Jewish or Gentile, we're still all part of the human race. We're all part of the human race. By the way, that means too, black, white, yellow, red, or brown, we're still part of the human race. Amen? We're all in that same boat. And the sad thing is that it condemns us right off the bat. Romans chapter 5 and verse 12 says, wherefore as by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin, and so death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. One friendly undertaker closes all his correspondence with this remark, eventually yours. Eventually yours. Why can't we be saved by ourselves? Why salvation cannot be by ourselves? Because we're born dead in sins. And everyone is that way. From the mayor to the lowest person in town, we are all born dead in sin. Something has to happen. Something has to change. And we can't do it ourselves. We've had some deaths in our church. We've had deaths in some of our families in our church. And we love those people who are now with the Lord, those people that passed away. But the truth of the matter is they cannot contribute to Grace Baptist Church anymore. Their memory, their heritage, their example can maybe be a help, but they personally can't do that anymore because they're dead. The Bible says we can't do anything for God when we're dead, when we're dead in sins. That's one point to share as we witness. Number two point is this. Why salvation cannot be of ourselves? Because God's love can't be earned. God's love can't be earned. Take a look at verse number 4 again, please. But God, who is rich in mercy for his great love, wherewith he, what? Loved us. Now, those who are in English, let me know, what tense is the verb loved? Past. Past. Do you know that God loved you before you loved him? How many knew that? That's amazing. You say, how can he do that? Because you know who you are. I know who I am. And God still loved me even when I had no desire to know him. I had no, he didn't even know he existed. And yet God loved me. The best way I can understand this is this way. If you're a parent here tonight, as a parent, you understand in a minimal way how God's love cannot be earned. When that newborn is first placed in your hands, even a sin-stained father or mother can love that child. Even a sin-stained person can see that individual and say, wow, and offer love that that child cannot earn. As a matter of fact, that child can do nothing for itself. The child cannot earn it, and the fact that he simply exists is what values the individuals in their eyes, the love for that child. You know, God loves you, and he loved you before you ever knew him. Amen. And folks need to hear that. A lot of times people don't understand that. There are people who think, man, there's no way someone could love me if they knew what I did. If they knew what goes on in my mind, if they knew what I saw on the internet, or if they knew what I said to so-and-so, or if they knew those secrets. Hey, God still loves us, and we can't earn that. God just is giving a gift to you and me. How did he do it? Look at verse number 5. Because of God's love, verse 5 tells us we can receive life instead of death. Even when we were dead in sins, hath, that is God himself, quickened us together with Christ. By grace ye are saved. How do we get that life? Got to trust Christ. Got to believe in him and have him as our Savior. The Bible says even though we were dead in sins, he's changed our life through Jesus because of his great love. Because of God's love, verse 6 tells us we can receive honor instead of dishonor. Take a look at verse 6. And hath raised us up together and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. Where does Christ Jesus sit today according to the Bible? Where does he sit? He sits on the right hand of the Heavenly Father. That's where he is. And yet, the Bible says he's with us tonight because we are gathered in his name. Two or three of us, that's all it takes, he said. And by the way, he's still with you even if you're by yourself. Amen. And the Bible says that at some point, we will understand and enjoy honor instead of dishonor. The Bible says that in ages to come, he hath raised us up together and made us sit together in heavenly places. Not because of what we did, not because of what we'll do. You know, God knows what you're going to do as well as what you have done. God knows what we're going to do as well as what we've have done. And that's still not good enough to put us in the same plane with Jesus as a joint heir of Christ. It's simply because of his love. His love. Because of God's love, we started there in verse 7. Because of God's love, we can receive grace instead of disgrace. Grace instead of disgrace. Look at verse 7 with me, please. That in the ages to come, he might show the exceeding riches of his grace in his kindness toward us through Christ Jesus. How many have ever experienced the grace of God? How many would have experienced the grace of God? Say, man, there's no doubt God's grace has been on my life. Praise the Lord. You know what the Bible's telling us here? We haven't seen anything yet. We ain't seen nothing yet. Look at what it says. That in the ages to come, there's going to come a time we'll see Jesus face to face. We'll see him face to face. And the Bible says even those riches will be even greater than we can see and understand today. Why? Why? We can't do anything to earn any of that stuff. Well, it's simply because of God's love. God's love. Turn with me, if you would, 1 Corinthians chapter 6, please. 1 Corinthians 6. God's love can't be earned. It can simply be received. 1 Corinthians chapter 6. Look at verse number 9 with me, please. We'll start there anyway. Starting in verse 9, here's what the Bible says. Know ye not that the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God? Be not deceived, neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor effeminate, nor abusers of themselves with mankind, nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor extortioners shall inherit the kingdom of God. Let me ask you this. Are those actions that can be visible? Fornicators, idolaters, adulterers, effeminate, abusers, thieves, covetous, etc. Are those visible? Can we see that? Yes, we can. Those are actions. Now listen to this. Verse number 11. He says first in verse number 10, they shall not inherit the kingdom of God. But verse number 11 says this, but such and such were some of you. Now wait a minute, he just got telling us that we can't inherit the kingdom of God. Now he comes back and says, but wait a minute. You can inherit the kingdom of God. How? Verse number 11. But ye are washed, but ye are sanctified, but ye are justified in the name of the Lord Jesus and by the Spirit of our God. What changes everything for us? Jesus changes everything for us. We earn those things, that guilt, that sin, that condemnation, we earn that. And we are born with it. We'll look at that in just a moment. But yet God says it all changes when you know Jesus as your Savior. All of it does. Praise God for that. Amen. And some were such of you. I don't know if you're one of those people who grew up with that kind of a background, but regardless of whether you had it in your actions or not, the Bible says even the very thoughts are examined by God. Sin is sin, and it must be taken care of. And if we tried to take care of ourselves, we are going to end up in a place called hell. It's still real today. It's still a place where souls are today. And yet with Jesus, we can escape it all. Amen? We can escape hell. And by God's grace and love, enjoy his heaven. What do we need to do if we can't earn salvation by ourselves? Well, we can't be earned or can't be of ourselves because we're born dead in sin. Secondly, because God's love can't be earned. Number three, here's the final thought we'll share tonight. Because salvation requires a spiritual work. because salvation requires a spiritual work. Take a look at verse number 8 and follow along with me in Ephesians here. Ephesians 2 and verse 8. For by grace are ye saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. Only God is capable of the work of grace. Only God says and does the work that is needed for his grace. 2 Timothy 1 and verse 9 says, Who hath saved us and called us with an holy calling, not according to our works, but according to his own purpose and grace, which was given us in Christ Jesus before, listen to this, before the world began. God's grace is eternal, amen? It had no beginning, and the Bible says it has no end. And if we accept his grace, Jesus Christ as our Savior, that's a spiritual work that he does that we are rewarded with. We are given as a gift. Only God is capable of that kind of work. He did it on the cross for us. The Bible says in verse number 9, we can only receive Jesus by faith. These are some things we need to share with others. For by grace are you saved. And the Bible says, not of works, lest any man should boast. None of us are going to get up there in heaven and stand before Jesus and said, boy, I'm so glad you knew I was going to call on you for salvation. I'm so glad you knew what kind of a service I was going to give you at Grace Baptist Church. I'm so glad you knew I was going to be telling others about you. Nobody's going to do that. You know, one of the reasons why I believe we won't do that is because our very tongue won't be able to get it out when we're in the presence of our Savior. That's how holy our God is. You and I, we're going to be under him when we're there physically. Today, we can blaspheme the Word of God. We can blaspheme his name. We need to make changes if that's what we're doing. But God in his grace loves us. He'll forgive us as we call on him. When we get in his presence, that ain't going to happen. Amen. You know why it's so important to be in God's Word every day? So that the presence of Christ is made known to you every day. So that those things that our flesh would want to do would say, no, I can't. I'm in the presence of my Savior, and he's with me. Holy Spirit guides us and leads us to do all those things through the day, but make it a true point in your heart each day to spend time with him in his Word. Turn with me, if you would, Gospel of John. John chapter 1. Again, the Bible tells us this grace, this work, can only be received by faith. John chapter 1. We're talking about how we can have witness points for others. John 1, starting in verse number 9. Would you look there, please? John 1, 9. The Bible says, that was the true light, referring to Jesus, God coming to the earth, which lighteth every man that cometh into the world. He was in the world, verse 10, and the world was made by him, and the world knew him not. He came unto his own, but his own received him not. Who were his own? The Jews, the Jewish nation, and they rejected him as a whole. The world knew him not, he came into his own received him not. Verse 12, but as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name, which were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. How can you be born of God? You receive Jesus by faith. Hey, praise God for good things we can do for the Lord, but none of our works are going to get us to heaven, folks. And none of our works are going to keep us on our way to heaven. Amen? That's not going to do it. But our faith in Jesus, the Bible says, is what it takes to receive his Son and the work he did. Now that takes us back to verse number 10. Would you go back to Ephesians 2? Because here's what most people want to do if you ask them, are you on your way to heaven? What's the first thing they want to say? Typically, I'm a good person. That's exactly right. I'm a good person. I haven't, killed anybody. That's the first thing they always want to say. I've never killed anybody. And then you say, well, I'm glad, and don't start now. Or I've never done this, never done that. Well, let me ask you this question. What if you were talking to someone who did kill somebody? What would you tell them? Can I share with you? Why don't you share them with the things that we just looked at? That we're all born dead in trespasses and sins. That we all have a need to trust Christ by faith because it's a spiritual work. We all have to do that if we want to see heaven. We all cannot earn God's love no matter how good or how bad we are. Once you receive Jesus as your Savior, God says he's never going to kick you out of the family. Aren't you thankful for that? God doesn't kick us out of the family. But the Bible tells us that as a born-again Christian, there are things for us to do. Take a look at verse number 10 in Ephesians 2. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, for which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. With salvation in Jesus, we now can bring glory to God and point others to him. Turn with me, if you would, Matthew chapter 5. As we consider missions, this is part of God's work for you and me, to point others to him. With salvation in Jesus, we can bring glory to God and point others to him. Matthew chapter 5, look at verse number 14, please. We'll start there. And we often go to this chapter when we talk about missions, but do you know that it's a point of witnessing for the Lord, living for the Lord, and doing what we can for him so that others can know him too. Matthew 5, starting in verse 14, reading down to verse 16. Would you read those verses with me? Let's read them out loud together, please. We're in Matthew 5, verse 14 through 16. Let's read it together. Ye are the light of the world. A city that is set on an hill cannot be hid. Neither do men light a candle and put it under a bushel, but on a candlestick, and it giveth light unto all that are in the house. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. Why do we come to church? Why do we try to do good works? Why do we try to do things for God? The Bible says here's the reason we need to do them. Whether this is the reason or not, that's between our heart and the Lord. But here's what God desires, is so that the world can see who God is and draw closer to him, that they may see your good works and glorify your Father, which is in heaven. Not glorify us. Listen, not even glorify Grace Baptist Church or any other facility, but that God gets the glory. That God gets the glory. The Bible says you and I, we've got work to do. With salvation in Jesus, we can bring glory to God and point others to him. And the Bible says you and I need to consider that as we see that this is a spiritual work. Jesus died on the cross. His blood paid the price. We need to receive that by faith and enjoy his grace and yet not just sit here and soak it in. Amen? Not just sit here and soak it in. He says, don't put your light under a what? Bushel. Don't put it behind the bushes. So that you don't get seen. That's what you do when you hunt. You get behind the bushes. Oh man, there's a deer out there somewhere. Let's get behind the bushes or let's get up in the tree. No, that's not the way you reach out to souls for Jesus. The Bible says we got to live as if everyone can see us and live like God would have us to do. Good works for him, not for us, but for him. Can we be witnesses for the Lord? Absolutely. Here, these are some thoughts to help us. Maybe something we can ask the Lord to help us, to remind us, because people are dead in sins, just like we've been, because people need God's love, and they can have it if they just see that it doesn't have to be earned. It's simply received. And people need salvation, and it requires spiritual work. Coming to church is a blessing, but that's not what got us saved. Amen? What got you saved is putting your faith in Christ. Amen? That's what got you saved. And that's what we can share with others. Heavenly Father, I pray, would you speak to our hearts even tonight? Help us, Lord, to have a vision and a desire to be that light unto the world around us, to the people that see us, Lord. Not to hide it, but to let it shine so that you can get the glory, Father, and so that Jesus can be seen and can be received again from another soul. I pray, Father, you'd burden us about that even tonight. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. Maybe you're here tonight, you've been praying about this. Maybe you haven't. But can I ask you, would you seek God's face in being that witness for him? These are just simply some witnessing points. It's not the only thing we can share with others. There's other things perhaps that might help them. But that we got to get started. We got to start somewhere. Maybe you're here tonight and you need Jesus as your Savior. But we have the Lord's Supper tonight. We still are open to talking about that with anybody who needs the Lord. This is the time to look to the Lord and seek His face, ask His help, and receive Jesus as your Savior. With heads bowed and eyes closed right where you're at, would you stand with me, please? I'm going to ask the piano to play in just a moment, softly, softly when she plays. If God's speaking to you right where you're at, why don't you respond? Why don't you respond to Him over these things? Lord, help me to be that witness for you. If you need Jesus as your Savior, you're welcome to come up and let's talk about that through the Bible. But as she begins to play, would you respond to God's Word tonight? Brother Doug's going to lead us in that song. Just a